You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. This is the day Detroit makes its pitch for one of two Major League Soccer franchises. The Motor City bid is led by Dan Gilbert, Tom Gores, and Martha Firestone Ford, who know a thing or two about owning pro sports teams with the Cavaliers, Pistons, and Lions, respectively. And they're proposing Ford Field as the site for a new MLS team for Detroit. How strong is this bid? Well, we turn to someone who knows Detroit and knows professional soccer. Alexi Lalas grew up in Birmingham. He's had a long career playing soccer for the U.S. in the World Cup, a long, long stretch in Major League Soccer as a player and a coach. He's in the National Soccer Hall of Fame and an analyst for Fox Sports. Alexi Lalas, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Alexi, here we've got two franchises available, four cities competing. What do you see as Detroit's main strengths in its bid?
I think the strength is in the ownership, and I think you mentioned it in the opening. When you have locally invested and certainly deep-pocketed ownership that has a history when it comes to professional sports, that also has the soccer component as part of a bigger development type of play, I think all of those things, at least initially, had me putting Detroit at number one in terms of the 12 teams that were vying for these two spots that are going to be announced this year and then more spots further on. The news that came out over the last month regarding the change of heart when it comes to a soccer-specific stadium, a road that Detroit had been down over the last year, trying to get that downtown and now moving to an NFL stadium at Ford Field. I think that threw a lot of people for a loop. I think it had a lot of people scratching their heads. And so while before that I would have put Detroit at number one, now I think they're probably at four, which doesn't mean that they don't get in eventually. But I think right now when you look at what's happening down in Ohio with Columbus Crew possibly moving and therefore Cincinnati maybe bolstered by that, and then Nashville, which I think is a shoo-in. It doesn't look good for Detroit in terms of the two, but I tell you what, that ownership group, that is something powerful, and other owners like to be involved with the other deep-pocketed owners, and this is a billionaires' league at this point.
Yeah, and you've got them. And just to kind of remind everybody, Dan Gilbert and Tom Gores were pushing to build that MLS stadium on the unfinished Wayne County Jail site. It would have been a soccer-specific stadium, but for a number of reasons, they apparently moved away from that and decided to offer up Ford Field. So I think I hear you say that decision could have dinged the Detroit bid a bit.
It will, but you know, look, we are recording this on a day when these final presentations are happening in New York City by all four teams. And if there ever was a moment for someone to get up and give a powerful presentation, it is today when it comes to Detroit. Because if they can talk about how they came to this decision, why it's good for not just what they feel is going to happen in Detroit, but also good for the league, and they're able to justify that in front of the ownership groups that are going to decide this, then certainly they can be right back into it. But you know, sometimes it's about hearts and minds, and sometimes it's literally in a room with people being able to look them in the eye and convince them that this is the right thing and why they pivoted from the soccer specific stadium.
And we got to remind everybody who maybe isn't real familiar with Major League Soccer, it's never had a team playing indoors under a non-retractable roof like Ford Field. Alexi, how different and difficult do you think it might be for an MLS team to basically be roommates with an NFL team?
Well, I mean, it's not without precedent. We have teams that right now, over the years, have played in NFL stadiums. We even have the New England Revolution, which share a stadium with their ownership, which is the Kraft, so that the New England Patriots over at Gillette Stadium. We have a situation right now with Arthur Blank and the Falcons stadium that the new Atlanta team, which just came in last year, and that's a huge point because Atlanta hit it out of the park this year as being a first-year team in MLS with ridiculously huge crowds, and they are now playing in an indoor stadium in Atlanta. And a lot of people are doing this compare and contrast. As you know better than anyone, Detroit is not Atlanta. It doesn't mean it can't be as good or better in certain ways, but just because something works in one market doesn't necessarily it's going to make it work in the other market. But if you say, all right, the soccer-specific stadium in Detroit, you know, if it ends up being 25,000 people, but But you have the capacity and the ability and the belief that you're going to get into the 40s. Obviously, from a business standpoint, you wouldn't necessarily want to limit yourself. If that's really what they believe, then they're going to have to be able to justify that and not just say, well, it worked in Atlanta, it'll work in Detroit, because we know that doesn't necessarily hold true. It isn't apples and oranges type of thing.
Alexi, as you probably know very well, there was an earlier effort to get professional soccer going in Detroit. The Detroit Express played at the Pontiac Silverdome from 78 to 80. I remember being at those matches. There were a lot of fans. There was a lot of screaming and a lot of excitement, and it fizzled out in two seasons. What's different today, do you think?
Well, I think the landscape across the country when it comes to professional soccer and the appetite for professional soccer has just gotten incrementally bigger and bigger. Obviously, the World Cup in 94, which we all remember in the Pontiac Silverdome. Look, I remember going to Detroit Express games. I remember playing as a youth player in one of those games before a Detroit Express game. So I know what it was like. By the way, rest in peace, Detroit Silverdome.
That's right.
But so there is a soccer audience. There always has been a soccer audience. There is a soccer community. It's so much bigger than it ever was when I was growing up, and being able to cater to that and give them professional soccer. And I know the Detroit City FC folks out there with what they have done is to be applauded and to be praised. And I hope that if MLS goes to Detroit, they find a way to be able to work with the folks that have been bringing professional soccer to Detroit. But as you mentioned, there is a soccer community, and there is a vibrant soccer community in Detroit. But giving them the opportunity week in and week out to support a team, to go to a team on a much bigger scale than they have right now or have had in the past, that's important.
You mentioned Detroit City FC, the football club, that amateur team that has a very, very avid fan base. They play in the National Premier Soccer League. A lot of those fans have been kind of vocal in opposing an MLS franchise for Detroit. Do you think an MLS team and a successful minor league team like Detroit City FC can coexist in the same city? Have you seen it working anywhere else?
I don't know if they can coexist, because I think philosophically they believe different things. And Major League Soccer is ultimately a business, as every sports team is a business. But certainly the grassroots way that they have gone about their business when it comes to Detroit City FC is something that needs to be applauded. But this is big, bad MLS coming into their market, and in a way that they understand is going to be very, very difficult for them to compete. And I don't think that they look at it as they're going to compete against it necessarily. But if you already have an established soccer team, albeit a small one, and you have an established soccer fan base, to the extent that you can try to mitigate some of those differences, that you can try to get in and talk and invite them into being a part of it, and even have them bring some of their own ideas into it, that's great. You know Detroit. Detroit is diverse. Detroit has many different types of people and many different types of ideologies and thoughts. But ultimately, the most important part of Detroit going forward, whether it's a soccer team or anything else, is the ability to work together and the ability to compromise and the ability to come together with a like-mindedness for soccer. Because we all want soccer to succeed when it comes to us. We might have different ideas as to how it's going to happen, but if it's going to happen in Detroit, I hope that there's a cooperation.
So the bid's being presented today to MLS officials in New York. The winners will be announced later in the month. In your gut, how likely do you think Detroit will be one of those two winners?
My gut, I don't think it's going to happen for this round, but I think they get the next round. And look, they might hit it out of the park, like I said in the presentations, but I hope if they don't get these two, they don't just say, well, this is a dud. I hope they keep going and they look at it as something that's going to be important. If they have to wait a little bit in order to get it, that's okay.
And that next one's just coming around in a year or so, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Alexi Lalas, we want to thank you so much for taking time to talk with us on Stateside.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.